And I'd like to ask you to pray with me as we begin. Lord, I thank you so much for the truth and the love of your word, for the privilege that we have to be your people. Lord, on this day, when so many are gathered, when so many are people of the steeple rather than the people of God, I pray that not only here and now will that not be the case, but I pray that what you're doing here and now will be a blessing that will help to impact our faith family and so many others who may for the first time come to realize what it is to truly put you first, to truly walk by faith, to be the church. Lord, I pray today that there will be a breakthrough. I pray for countless breakthroughs, that there will be some who don't yet know you as Lord, that you will come here and break through the veneer, the hard shell of empty hearts, and that you will capture some by grace. And Lord, I pray for those who have been yours, but who may be in a spiritual slumber. I pray that there will be a breakthrough of zeal and passion revisited, that there will be a burning desire to be your people and to put you first no matter what. Lord, bring this breakthrough to this people, I pray. All for your glory and all by your grace. All through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to join me in worship and praise. You see, today we're going to spend time together as a people who are going to pray, praise, have the word proclaimed, and be purified, is my prayer, together. So throughout the morning, there will be times where you and I are going to pray together, we're going to praise together, and we're going to hear the proclaimed word, and I pray be purified. So here's the first time that you have an opportunity to worship in song this morning, and I encourage you to do so. Let this song not only speak for your heart, but be your prayer if it needs to be. Let's ask the Lord for a breakthrough. Amen.
Beyond familiar shores, into waters unexplored. This one desire, stirring here in me, deep is calling out to deep. Take me from where I've been, into something new. I'm giving up control, I need a breakthrough. Crashing into you, you waking up my heart, you are my breakthrough, breakthrough. Your love so wild conquers my defenses, opens the impossible. It's so amazing how you take the ashes and turn them into beautiful. Take me from where I've been into something new. I'm giving up control, I need a breakthrough. All of my dreams and fears are crashing into you. You're waking up my breakthrough.
let me ask you, are you praying for a breakthrough? We just sang this, and no doubt some of you already are saying, hey, what's the big idea? What's going on here? You know, whether it's what's going up in the world or what's coming down in worship, what's going on? What are you doing? Well, we're here as the people of God to pray. In fact, Lord, again, I just ask you, even now, please tenderize our hearts, Lord. Give us the want to worship. Not in a way or a form that we're accustomed to, not that puts you in a box or in some kind of a system, but Lord, let our hearts cry out for you. Let our want to worship you grow so that when we sing, it's in the overflow of our heart. Lord, not just the people who are good at singing. I stink at singing. But let my worship continue. Let our worship, let the singing be the expression of our heart's desire to bring you glory. Not hear the sound of our voice, but to bring you glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, and there are no doubt some who are already thinking, well, hang on, why do we have a worship team? Why were they practicing? Why were they here practicing? And let me tell you the answer to that. We talked about it as a worship team already this morning. Because our worship team doesn't practice, they worship. And it's important that you understand that worship is never wasted. Real worship is never wasted. And if worship becomes practice, it's not really worship. And my goal this morning is to take you and me into the heart of the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, which I promise you give us an encapsulation, a summary of the whole book of Hebrews. And so when we get to the end of the book, I will again recap the entire structure. But here today, I just want to bring you the heartbeat of Hebrews. I want to bring you into the heartbeat of Hebrews, which is to recognize God is speaking to his people. They're a people of prayer and praise and the proclamation of the word for the purpose of being purified as his people. And I want to ask you, what do you need for that? What do you need for that? You need Jesus. You need his truth, his love, his spirit. And I make the argument all the time that you need his people. You need his people in the construct of what he calls his family. His body, his bride, the church. But make no mistake, that's all you need. That's all we need. And sometimes we lose sight of that. Like the people who were receiving the original letter known as Hebrews. Well, I can just kind of revert back to some churchiness. I'll go to the synagogue. We'll talk about God, capital G. I don't need. So yes, you do. The good news is you don't need anything else. I want to ask you if you would to again join me in praise and worship. Whether you want to sit or stand, sing or pray, just come into the presence of Almighty God with truth expressed through song that I pray represents the spirit of your heart. Let's pray and praise together.
I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal returned. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. Yes, I have. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Come on, we sing. All my hope is in
I say to you here again, amen and amen. Is this why you're here? I want to ask you, why are you here today? Why are we in this place? Why are we on this planet? What do you need to sing that song? Do you need a certain order of structure? Do you need, I got to get the singing done before we can do some preaching, before I can come back to some more singing? Or can we say we're the people of God? I come to you today like the author of Hebrews, simply reminding you of all that we have in Christ. If you are His, don't you dare think about drifting away. Don't you dare think about disconnecting. Don't you dare dilly-dally with the stuff of this world. How dare you actually consider disobeying God's word, God's will, and God's way? Do you not remember who we are? Now, I say that to you in the heart of Hebrews. Let me tell you the big idea for today and the encapsulation of Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. This passage, the whole of Hebrews, every ounce of the Word of God is here encapsulated to bring you God's warning, to show you how that we are to be a people of God's worship and how we ultimately become God's people. We're going to see God's warning, God's worship, and God's warriors on display in this passage, which is at the heart of the entire book of Hebrews, which is at the heart of the entire Bible. And my prayer is that you and I will see that you don't need structure. You don't need a certain format. You need the Savior, and you need a faith that is on fire by the gift of His Spirit and the power of His Spirit. I want you to think about it. We're continuing in Hebrews, so we're not outside the book. In the context of Hebrews, we've said it's an exhortation that is going to exalt Christ. That's what the author has said. The letter of Hebrews is here to exalt Christ and to exhort His church. That's what we're doing. And that's what we've seen as we've gone through the entire book of Hebrews, that the first 10 chapters help us understand that, with some warnings that go all the way through chapter 12. And in chapter 12 and 13, we see a pivot point that now shifts to instruction. This is where the do's and the don'ts come alive. Two-thirds of the do's and don'ts come in chapters 12 and 13. And we've now been in the opening part of chapter 13 for a while. And I said to you, the first six verses of Hebrews 13, it's a living lesson on love. And we've seen, if you think about it, if you've been with us, and if you haven't, I want to encourage you to go back and read the first 4.5 verses. And what you're going to find is there are five do's and don'ts that come alive. The first are the five do's, and then we're going to see three don'ts today. But do love your Christian brothers and sisters. Do love the strangers that are in your life. Do love the prisoners that are locked up around you. Do love those that are most mistreated in and of the world. And do especially love your spouse with a missional love that puts on display the very gospel, the very life of the Christian in Christ. Then when you get to where we are today, which includes the second half of verse 4 and then verses 5 and 6, we see three don'ts when it comes to love. So this lesson on love that's at the beginning of chapter 13, we've got the five do's. Here are the three don'ts. Last week we saw, don't love sexually outside of marriage. Don't love with any perverse form, biblically defined, any perverse form of sexuality. And here today we learn, don't love money, or better stated, the ways of the world. That's what we're going to see as we go through. So here's the outline for today. We're going to see God's warning, we're going to see God's worship, and we're going to see God's warriors. The warning is going to come when we deal with man's uncontrollable problem. Think about that. The number one problem for all of humanity, covered right here. Covered in the book of Hebrews. Covered in the Bible over and over and over again. But the warning deals with man's uncontrollable problem. The worship comes out of God's unbreakable promise. And the warriors come because they are going to be Christ's unstoppable people. Think about that. You interested? Lord, I pray that we are interested. I pray that there is a burning passion and a desire in the people who claim to be yours. That burning passion and desire is to grow in the likeness, in the loving of being yours. And I pray, Lord, that this time in your word, this time of prayer and praise and proclamation will in fact bring purification for your people, starting with me first. We are all works in progress, Lord. Let us embrace your refining work, your refining fire that shows that you love us as you discipline us. Lord, let each one within the sound of my voice be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, depending on where you are, how you walked in and how you walked out, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news to share today. Now that shouldn't be a surprise to you, because it ultimately comes down to what you do with God and His Word. What you do with Christ and His church. And again, we're going to talk about people, His people. We're going to talk about prayer, praise, preaching or proclamation, and purification. So first, when it comes to people, here's what I want to ask you. I've got good news or bad news depending on where you stand and how you answer these questions, both now and when you leave. When it comes to God's people, do you want to be God's people? Or do you want a God of the people? Do you want to be capital G God's people? Or do you really want a small g God of the people? Secondly, when it comes to prayer, good news or bad news, depending on what you do with this, where you are. Do you really want, are you all about wanting to pray? Or are your prayers really all about what you want? Good news, bad news. Praise. People of God or not people of God? When it comes to praise, are you praising God that He healed your dead and empty, fickle heart? Or are your praises really dead and empty and coming from a fickle heart? When it comes down to the proclamation, is the proclamation of God's word challenging and ending your rationalizations? Or are your rationalizations really challenging and shutting down the proclamation of God's word? I'm talking down deep in your heart. You know what I mean. Lastly, let me ask you, when it comes to the purification aspect, have you come with a commitment to God's word, truly refining your heart? Or have you come committed to truly in your heart trying to refine God's word? This is good news or bad news, depending on where you stand, and this is true for everyone. Lord, I ask you now, please walk us through your word. Lord, make us a people of genuine praise and prayer and proclamation and purification. Let us be those witnesses whose walk draws the others to worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we begin, and you say begin. Yeah, as we begin, let me ask you these questions again. What do you want? What is the burning passion of your heart? What do you want more than anything else? Why are you here? I had sent out a note asking everybody to come ready. Say, ready for what? Ready to worship. When? Right from the start and all the way through. Our worship is what our time together is all about. It's Him. So what do you really want? Why are you here? Thirdly, where will you go from here? Where will you go from here? And I don't just mean for lunch. Where do you go from here? After a day where I pray, we're reminded of the privilege and the blessing and the call to worship 24/7. Not just Sunday morning, not just Sunday with song, but all of who we are. And then maybe most importantly of all, how do you get there? How will you get there? Well, that's why I go to church. Well, I'm going to sleep in the garage. It's not going to turn me into a car. It's coming to Christ. It's submitting to, with a want to and a passion. This is part of what we've seen. Say, well, I don't need that. You're right. You'll go ahead and you'll drift. You'll become discontent. You'll disconnect. You'll dilly-dally. You'll ultimately disobey, and then you'll deny or defy Christ. That's what happens. This is the pattern. This is how it works. If you're not passionate in saying, yes, Lord, I want to praise you. You know, let me tell you a little truth here. And I know this firsthand. I'm an expert in this sin. I got a PhD in this sin. If you don't want what God has given you, you'll never be happy. And you'll keep thinking that if He would just give you what you want, then you'll be happy and you'll always, always, always remain miserable. Even if you put the clown face on. That's just putting lipstick on a pig. Because until you want what God has for you, you'll never, ever, ever come to know His place of divine and blessed peace and joy and love and patience, the fruit of the Spirit. See, you and I are naturally wired to want sinfully and selfishly. Doubt me? Read Galatians 5, just before the fruit of the Spirit. You'll see the inverse sinful nature that's in you and me. That's who we are. Now, if you're a Christian, side by side with that sin nature is your new divine Spirit-empowered life that looks like the fruit of the Spirit, wants the fruit of the Spirit, looks like the Beatitudes, wants the Beatitudes, looks like the Great Commandments and the Great Commission, and wants the Great Commandments and the Great Commission. You look like and live in God's full armor. You say, well, hang on now, Pastor, which one is it? And the answer is yes. And I take you to Romans 7 to see the war that is within you and me. Every single one of us. Now, before you're a Christian, you lost the war. Now, if and when you're captured by grace, you've now just been redeemed, set free. You've now become a winner of that war by the grace of God through your faith. Not of your works, lest anyone should boast. However, you've been saved to serve and to live sent as a servant of God. You say, wow, this seems pretty tense. Yeah, it is. So let me bring you to God's word. Let's put this in perspective. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Would you pray with me? Father, take your word now, and I know it's alive. I know it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I ask you to carve up some hearts here today. Lord, start with mine, please. Refine out the chaff. Make me more like you today. Thank you for your word, which states, and I quote, keep your life free from the love of money. Keep your life free from the love of money. That's a command. And be content. That's another command. Be content with what you have. For he, God, has said, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me just point out something that's not obvious there. In the original language and grammar, there are five negatives here. This is like Winston Churchill. I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. That's Creator God speaking here. That's crucified King Jesus here. This is resurrection Redeemer speaking. I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you, Christian. So, get that. For, because, here he is. So, now this is you and me. So, we can confidently say, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Let that sink in. The Lord is my helper. Now, he's your creator. He's your savior. But don't miss this. He's your active present tense, always, forever, never leaving or forsaking helper. He's your helper. I need to do some construction work around the house. You know what? I'm toast. I am useless. But if my buddy Rob comes to help, I know it'll get done. And it'll be done well. Because my buddy Rob is an expert. And when he brings help to construction projects, they're done well. I'm medically torn up. I've got some struggles. I don't know what's going on. Brother Charlie, he's an expert in medicine. He'll be my helper. I know that I'll have insight and understanding because he's very good at what he does. But we're talking here about the Creator of all things. We're talking about King Jesus, Creator Christ. He's my helper. Feel intimidated? Not when my helper's around, I don't. Feel overwhelmed? Not when my helper is with me, I don't. I will fear not. So not only do I have a helper, I have one that eliminates all fear. Single most repeated command in the Bible, fear not. How? Why? Because I've got the promise that he will never, 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 never leave me or forsake me. My 12-year-old Gideon, he goes out to the park and there's some bullies in the park. He's got a problem. When his 6'4" brother shows up, Griffin, he has no more problems at the park. And the degree to which his brother is with him, he lives in peace at the park because nobody in the 12-year-old pool is going to mess with my boy when my big boy is around. I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. Well, then I get it. So I will fear not. What can man do to me? I mean, friends, if this is not the heart of Hebrews, if this is not the heart of the gospel, if this is not something that will fire up your belly for worshiping Christ, then your wood is wet. This is the heart of worship. This is what brings us. And you see in this verse, again, you see the exhorting of God's warning. You see the exhorting to God's worship, and you see the exhorting of God's warriors. That's for you and me, Christian. You don't need an order of service. That doesn't start when the sermon begins. It doesn't start when you hit the parking lot. This is who we are all the time. The reason for starting today the way I did and the way of bringing all of this together is when Hebrews was originally written, there wasn't a children's program. There wasn't an order of service that said we sing seven songs and then we hear God's word and then walk with Jesus through the Gospels. Walk through the book of Acts. Now, there isn't anything wrong with our nursery, but every once in a while, I just want to bring us back to the heart of worship. I just want to bring us back to this understanding that there are warnings in God's word. Don't get distracted. Don't fall in love with the stuff of this world. Worship the one who said, I will never, ever, 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 ever leave you or forsake you. And embrace your call to be a warrior. That because he is with you always, that you will live out this call. That you will confidently say, get that, confidently, with passion, boldness. And you'll say, not just think, not just, well, I'll show it to him with my actions. No, I'll say who he is. I'll say who I am. This is what love does. This is the living lesson on biblical love. Love warns, worships, and breeds warriors for Christ. This is what's at the heart of it. So, exhorting, warning, the first major point. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content. Be content with what you have. See, your translations, if you're a King James person, will say covetousness. It's the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Don't covet. Well, what is this? What is this love of money that we're not supposed to have? It's the desiring of more stuff that we don't need. Now think about that. That's a broad definition, but it's really helpful. You say, well, okay, I don't want stuff. Well, you might want safety. That's stuff you don't need. You just went from preaching to meddling now, right? Do you need safety in this world? No, you need to live sold out for Jesus. Well, I can't do that. I might lose my job. I might lose my head. They might separate my head from my shoulders. Yep. Amen. And then you'll go in two pieces to heaven. And the Lord will reunite you there. Don't you worry about it. To covet. The idea of having a love for money, it's a desire to get power, to have control that the Bible says you don't have anyway. So don't go chasing it. There's nothing there. There's nothing there for you or me. Now, again, I speak to the church. Most of you are well informed, and those within the sound of my voice may also be. So let me ask you this, and watch. I'm coming at you now with a curve. Ready? So Jesus plus what equals your salvation? Nothing. I know that answer, Pastor. Jesus plus nothing. I'm saved by grace through faith, not of works, so that no one will boast. Ding, ding, ding. You're right. So let me ask you, if you got the first question right, here's question number two. Jesus plus what makes you happy? Jesus plus fill in the blank brings you your happiness. So, whoa, we got a list there, brother. Why? Because if Jesus plus nothing brings you your salvation, then Jesus plus nothing should bring you your happiness. And what you want is what you will put first. What you want is what will cause you to drift. What you want will cause you to become discontent. It'll cause you to disconnect. It will cause you to dilly-dally, disobey, and you see it. This past week, I sent you out a notice. A guy named Joshua Harris, denounced, 20 years. I'm divorcing my wife, and I'm no longer a Christian. Did he lose his salvation? No, he never was saved. And it's sometimes over time that the Demases and the Judases are revealed. Now, do I say that to destabilize you? Absolutely not. But I do say it to tell you, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You need to check the pulse of your walk. All of us do. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you've lost your salvation or you're ready to disconnect from Christianity, but you might be vacationing in Ziklag and you might need somebody to send you a postcard to say, psst, come on home. You've been caught up in the distractions. This is what's here. If you say that I need something plus Jesus for salvation, that's heresy. Hear me, please. If you say I need something plus Jesus for my happiness, your something is idolatry. If Jesus plus fill in the blank equals my happiness, then whatever fills in the blank is representative of your personal idolatry. And let me tell you, you can have that idolatry, number one, because you're not really a Christian. But number two, Christians can live in this idolatry as they sin and stumble. And if you and I are not content in Christ, if we are going to covet other things, that's demonstrating a sinful stumble if you are a Christian, where you are stumbling over the sin of unbelief, of selfishness, of pride. I think, I want, I know better. And what we see in this verse is the answer to that is to live content in Christ. If you're not content in Christ, you need to repent. And you need to go ahead and check the pulse of your heart, because if Jesus plus fill in the blank equals my happiness, Jesus plus safety is when I'm happy. Jesus plus structure. Don't go messing with our Sunday morning order of service. I can't worship like this. You got my head all over the place. Well, get your head right and come to worship. Don't be dependent upon other things. This is the point. When I'm content in Christ and I'm not coveting other things, form, structure, safety, money, order, control, power, comfort, balance. Don't covet balance. Pray that God will give you the blessing of obedience, no matter what. That's what's here. For those that doubt, listen to Luke 12:15. Watch out. That's what it says. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And if you think about it, that abundance of possessions, it's really just there to help you take control. Help you to have and do what you want instead of want and have what God has for you. I would say this to you. Don't do what so many others are doing and have done. Don't do. Your parents probably said to you, if your friends jumped over the bridge or off the bridge, would you do it too? Don't do what so many others do and have done. That so many others are doing and have done. Ask yourself this question. Please, I implore you. Why do people drift? Why? Why do people become discontent? Why do they dilly-dally? Why do they ultimately disobey and deny and defy Christ? Because a greater want to has taken over their heart. Now maybe it's the want to of, hey, what was that? Squirrel. And maybe that's not a deep-seated distraction. But in that moment, because you weren't focused, you weren't living ready, the squirrel got you off. You were more interested in the squirrel. Might not be a deep heart issue, but it's a heart issue. That's what I wanted. It just ratchets up as you get to discontent, disconnect, dilly-dally, disobey, deny, and defy. What do you want? What do you want 24/7? Not in the compartments of Sunday mornings and life group night. What do you want? Why do you want what you want? Is it God-honoring? I just want a little peace and quiet. Well, I don't get any of that, especially in the book of Acts or the gospel. You know, I just want my kids to be safe. Yeah, you won't find that here either. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, it puts your kids in front of your king. If Jesus says, I want you in Bangladesh a week from Tuesday in a cardboard city, the answer is yes, Lord. Or you're in a real, real bad place. Well, surely God would understand if I'm not bringing my kids to Bangladesh. No, he won't. Anybody tells you he would is lying to you. Here's what he expects. Yes, Lord, thank you. Well, he would never do that, though. Oh, really? Why? He'd go to the cross, but you're too good for one? Why does he say, carry yours every day, or you can't be mine? Well, God doesn't want families to be put in challenging places. Yeah, you're right. He's the king of the couch. He's all about couch potatoing 101. You won't find that anywhere in here. He's called you and me to live an inspirational life as warriors. Warriors. Lord, I just ask you, please, carry my words. Prepare them before they come out of my mouth. Let this be a time that I pray, as we'll see, it is so encouraging, such inspiration. Let us get through the plowing work that really gets to the condition of our heart so that the purity of your word, the seed of your word may come in, and then the power of your spirit will draw forth a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me just go ahead and bring you to another place of worship. And this time, as you realize that if I am coveting other things, I'm in a very bad place. And if I've learned to be content in Christ, that's the solution. That's all of grace. The only way I get to that place is by grace. It's the amazing, overwhelming love, mercy, and grace of God. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to play another song, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to ponder that. I want you to take it to your heart. And then I'd like you to get up and share some love with each other. And for the next 7 or 8 minutes, just think about what we've already embraced and share it with somebody. Share with somebody what this song will really embody, and that is, I used to be a wretch, and now I'm a worshiper. By the grace of God, I get it. I don't want to covet the world anymore. I really want to come and worship my King. The songs that are coming together as we now share the love, House of the Rising Sun and Amazing Grace. This is our story. Let's share the love.
Down in New Orleans, they call the rising sun. It's been the ruin of many a poor boy, and God, I know I'm one. My mother was a tailor. She sewed my new blue jeans. And my father was a gambling man. And down in New
of the rising sun. a sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour that I
If we can make our way back to our seats, we're going to continue in our worship service. So if you can make your way back to your seats, I'd like to continue on in our worship. As we've spoken already, worship involves singing. It involves the proclamation of God's word. It also includes a fellowship. And again, I want to say to you, notice that God's word doesn't need or call for any particular structure. He calls for our hearts. And so when we talk again about coveting and that sin of covetousness, please come to understand and see clearly the difference between coveting and being content in Christ. It's as different as the natural versus the supernatural, the old flesh and the new faith. It comes down to the difference between being dead in sin and alive in Christ. That's what's at the core here. That's what we were just talking about. And when you read in the scriptures, do not fill your life with this love of money. There's an original word in the Greek here, and it's got three pieces. It has an A, kind of like if you have a theist, but an atheist is a non-theist. Well, this word has an a non. The second root is phileo, love. And then the third part is the word for silver. So no love of silver. We're being called not to put our love and our passion in the things that will bring us the stuff of this world. That's the key. And if that's who you are, No amount of time in church is going to take the place of not being in Christ. If Christ is second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh in your life, it doesn't matter. He's got to be first of all the time. And so whether that's a call to submit and surrender to become a Christian, or if it's a call to submit and surrender and repent and be a part of your sanctification process, either way, Christ is the answer. And where that's not the case, we're going to have this love and this pursuit of the stuff of this world. Now, when that happens, what does it look like? Here's how you'll see the sin of coveting. You'll see a superficiality in terms of relationships and commitment. You'll see a petty jealousy for other things. You'll see a pure sense of defined idolatry. That's what I want more than Christ. Now, will they say that? Not normally, but they'll live it. And I've said to you many times, how you behave reveals what you believe. What you pursue points to the passion of your heart. And I don't care who you are or how much religious spin you can put on that. That's the truth. Again, you'll see a witness that has been smeared and stained. You'll see one who causes other to stumble. Well, it must be okay. Jeff's doing it. I mean, Jeff's off doing this other non-worship. It must be okay because Jeff's a pretty sincere guy. You'll see this when it leads others astray. It portrays unbelief. It puts on display a double-mindedness. It ultimately shows a lack of appreciation. It cheapens grace, and it takes mercy for granted. It demonstrates a selfishness and flat-out disobedience. And here's why it's such a big deal. This is why the warning is so big. This is why I say to you, this is man's uncontrollable problem. Because when you covet other than Christ, the end is nowhere in sight. You can go off the edge of the planet into sin, so long as you want other than Christ first. You don't have to be an axe murderer. You don't have to be a child rapist. You don't have to be anything that you would say is evil. All you got to do is want something or someone more than Christ. And the trap door to sin has just gobbled you up. You are in free fall, friend. And all I had to do was want something more than Christ. Exactly. That is at the heart of all the damage and all the sin in the world. That's a big statement, but I want you to embrace it. Wanting other than Christ first is at the heart of every sin in the world. That's not politically correct to say, but it's eternally true. And it's in desperate need of being said and championed in this world. How do I know? Because he says, be content with what you have. Now, if you know Romans 8, 28 and 29, we were there last week. For God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And his purposes are to draw us into a greater refining work of Christ-likeness. So if it's your reality, to some extent it's God's will. He's sovereign and in charge. He never once lost control of creation. So if you're dealing with it, it's either what he's allowed to come through or what he's directly using for the purpose of making you more like Christ. Now, does that mean that we throw parties and celebrate when we're going through tragedies and tough times? No. But what it does mean is that we don't go down into despair. We don't try to find workarounds. And we don't say, well, surely if God were really good, then this wouldn't happen to me. This is a calibrator. One theologian has said that it is the worldly, including the wealthy worldly, who are poor. And it is the world of believers, including the poor believers, who are rich in God's blessing. So what does this content look like? How would you define it? And I would say this to you. You will know that you are living content, that you are being content. You're demonstrating biblical contentedness when you are seeking God, knowing God, you are trusting God, loving God, and wanting God. Think about that. There's a progression here. You will be content when you seek to worship God. when you know God per His Word, when you trust God and His will, when you love God and His ways, and when you want what God wants. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and then go do whatever you want. You can't go wrong at that point if it's genuine. Now, when he says, be content with what you have, that's a huge conditional clause there. Not be content if you get what you want, but be content when you get what you get, knowing who got it for you and who's in charge. You'll never be happy if your happiness is conditional upon you getting what you want. You'll always be happy when you are happy with what you have. Think about that. This is God's way. Think about what you see in the Bible. I just offer one set of examples. Look at Paul. Walk with Paul through the book of Acts. Watch him and how he's treated and how it cannot stop him. He tells us in Philippians 4 that he's learned the secret of being content in all situations. In fact, let me share with you. Charles Stanley says, quote, "What kind of life do you think brings contentment? You might assume it is one with few troubles or great success. You may want good health, financial security, and a loving family. Paul's life was not at all like that. He was in danger from both his own countrymen and the opposition." 2 Corinthians 11. Read his tale and see what he went through over and over and over again. The quote continues, "Sometimes the people listened, but more often they were hostile to Paul's message. He also had a thorn in his flesh, which God refused to remove," 2 Corinthians 12. "And Paul even spent considerable time in prison. Yet he boldly wrote," Ephesians 1:3, Philippians 4:12, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." Why? Because, quote, "the secret he discovered was to live on the basis of his position in the Lord, not based on his feelings. As God's child, Paul knew he was spiritually rich," Ephesians 1:3, "blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Amen? If that's who you know yourself to be, then I want to encourage you again to prayerfully praise God with me. Let's lift a hallelujah together right now. And again, if you want to sing from sitting down or stand up, let this be the song of your heart or the prayer of your passion. Let's lift a hallelujah together.
From the top. Here we go, from the top.
Whenever you guys are ready.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah. Louder than the unbelief, I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Alive.
this is why we're here, is it not? To raise a hallelujah, to worship. That's why I asked you at the beginning, why do you come? What do you want? You know, it's not a religious car wash. It's not a quick kind of spritz. This is a desire to literally worship Lord Jesus, to praise Him, to pray to Him. In fact, Lord, again, I pray and I just ask You to guide us through this morning. Let it not be a day of oddities, but let it be an objective call to worship. Lord, let this be the opportunity that we do hear and sense the breakthrough of You calling us closer to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And again, I say to you, as we look at the second point, if at the beginning it's God's warning, telling us about the uncontrollable problem that man has, that we now see we're called to worship as we go on. And He says, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, it's an emphatic never, 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 never. And this is where we worship. The number one uncontrollable problem is resolved with an unbreakable promise from the one that we worship, Almighty God. He says, I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. What's He doing? He's giving us a sense of authenticity. This is God speaking. It's His authority. It's God speaking. It's His power. This is God speaking. It's His purpose. This is God speaking. And it's His promise to His people. This is God speaking. I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. Now that's a call to worship. I want to ask you now if you will worship the Lord with me through giving. And now as we have another song that's going to bring us back to this place of saying, Lord, do it again. You spoke here. You said, You promised. Please do it again. Remind us, because we're dumb sheep. We tend to forget. We fall down. We get distracted. Please remind us. Do it again. Speak afresh to us from Your word, I pray. Those that are going to help us with our offering and our worshiping through giving, if you'll please come. Lord, I ask Your blessing on this time as we ask You to do it again. Speak to us afresh. Some have never heard You before, even though they've read the Bible. They don't feel that they've heard You personally. I pray that You will press into their hearts today, that You are the one speaking in Your word, and that perhaps today, as they're called to worship, they hear You personally in their heart. Oh, do it again, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, how does that make you feel? Some of us right now, if we're honest, would say, this is one of the most intimate times I've ever had with the Lord. And others of you are looking at your watch thinking those stinking Methodists are going to beat us to the Cracker Barrel. At this pace, we'll never get out of here. And I say that tongue in cheek, but it's tragic. Because I ask you now what I did at the beginning. What do you want? The church exists to bring glory to God. We gather to worship and to be equipped for the scattering and the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the process of making disciples that we pray for while they're lost, and then we pray that God will help us to build them up once they're found. I think the writer of that song read this passage in Hebrews. Don't get caught up in other things. Be content in Christ with what you have. Remember what he said. He will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you, Christian. And what that ultimately means is if you go back just a few verses at the end of Hebrews 12, it means that you understand that you've been offered, quote, a unshakable kingdom in Christ. Now, either that changes your world or it doesn't. Either he's the Lord and you're thanking him in this passage because it represents the truth that defined you, or you're trying to figure out a way to manage this and somehow get your religion worked into your life. Let me tell you, if you're here or if you're within the sound of my voice and your understanding of all this is that, yeah, I get it. I'm supposed to come and pay honor to the manager of all ministry. His name's Jesus. You will not demonstrate the love or the passion or the power of Christ. You won't have it, so you won't be able to show it. But if you come to worship the one who moves mountains, the miraculous Messiah that will save your soul, and if you know that place, nothing will keep you from worship. One looks to heaven, and the other is looking to Cracker Barrel. One wants to get out on the water, and the other wants the living water. I ask you, why are you here? What do you want? Not as the pastor of this local church, as much as the one who is reading and sharing God's word. Well, again, whether it's the book of Hebrews or another part of the Bible, are you excited about the fact that the one who can and does move mountains is willing and wanting to work in and on you? I am. Let me tell you, I'm as excited today that he's not done with me yet as I am with the fact that he came and found me and pulled me out of my pit. I come here today, I prepare every sermon, and I come into every set of worship asking the Lord, please work on me, refine me today, change me more today. I pray that's what you want. I pray that's at the heart of your worship. That you thank God that he's not done with you yet. Let this song, again, I pray, bless you, fill your heart. Let it either be your anthem or your prayer, I pray.
Standing in your ruins feels a lot like the end. So used to losing, you're afraid to try again. Right now all you see are ashes where there was a flame. Truth is that you're not forgotten, 'cause grace knows your name. God's not done. With your broken heart and your wounds and your scars, God's not done with you. Even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling apart, God's not done with you. It's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. I'm that you don't notice until you're standing in the dark. And there's a strength that's growing inside your shattered heart. Whoa.
I'm done with you,
even with your broken heart and your wounds and your scars. And it's hard and you're falling apart.
It's not over, yeah.
It's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. You. He's got a plan, this is part of it. He's gonna finish what he started. This is part of it. He's gonna finish what he started. He's not done. God's not done writing your story. No, he's not done. God's not done with you.
You see, Christian, I can say to you with all the power of God's word, you can and should be worshiping this king who swore if you're his, he will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. He's not done with you yet. And you know what that means? That means, quote, we can confidently say, what's your attitude? How confident are you in Christ? Oh, friend, here's where everything shifts. See, we've plowed the hard ground. You know not to covet. You know to be content. Now, here's the good news. Say with confidence, God's not done with me yet, and I know he's making a change. He's in the process of making a change. And I pray that your heart will worship him, that it will come out of you and can't be held, that this song will be your song. Let us sing and share this together.
Let me tell you, oh my friend, about this joy I'm living in.
Let me take the mic, go on and testify how I was dead and then I came to life. No more living in the dark of night. Now everything's alright. I've been changed.
Break fades away like a book when you turn the page.
Let me take the mic, go on and testify how I was dead and then I came to life. No more living in the dark of night. Now everything's alright. I've been changed.
Tell me why would I turn back now? There's no
I know you're there.
Your love did something magical.
I put my hands in the air cause you heard my prayer.
A transformation radical.
I put my hands in the air cause I know you're there.
I know it's supernatural.
I put my hands in the air cause you heard my prayer. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I've been changed.
And you see, when we're speaking to the Christian family, the church that has been changed, and that's what's happening here, is we're no longer talking to the general community, not quite knowing who is and who isn't. God in His Word is saying, listen, if you're a true Christian, He will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. He's not done working on you yet. You're already changed and continuing to be changed. Praise God. And now you can say confidently, I am God's work in progress. I am content, not that I'm going to settle into my sin, but I know I'm not going back there. I know I've been saved. And this is where the church literally ignites with inspiration. This is where and when we say, listen, I can say confidently. What do I say? I say this, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. My helper. Now, some of you, no doubt, you're sitting there, you're saying, you know, that last song had a little bit of pep in it, but I don't know that I can say that confidently. I don't know that that's my way, because you don't know where I've been. You don't know how bad I am. You don't know how unretrievable I am. And I say, I know the one that can retrieve anyone and everyone, because He came to get me, and I was deeper in the pit than most anybody you know, and He came to get me. So for those that might just be sitting here with a little bit of skepticism saying, I don't know that I can say it so confidently. I don't know that He's my helper. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian, He's your helper. And no matter where you've gone, no matter where you've been, He will never, ever, 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 ever leave you or forsake you. Here's a song that I pray will come and meet you wherever you are, especially if you're struggling with doubt. This is my song. This is my song. I pray some of you own it too. Watch this and then let's come back.
Out of love. Oh, you make
I think at the end, that's my Polaroid. I pray that you can relate again. If you've heard God's word today and you're a Christian and you think, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me, I want you to know you're wrong. It's his promise. He will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. That you can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I want you to think about it this way. What if the songwriter was the one trying to help you to learn how to sing the song? What if the recipe writer was the one that was trying to help you to prepare the meal? What if the story writer was the one trying to help you to understand the story? You'd say, well, I'm sure I'd get it then. Well, what about when the creator of all creation tells you that he will help you get through this created fallen world? Then you would say with confidence, I know, because the Lord is my helper, that I've got this. That you would recognize that when he says you should, you could. And when he says you could, you should. You would embrace all that he has to be all that he plans for you. You would celebrate this. You would not only have the confidence of knowing that he's your helper, but then you would say, listen, I no longer fear. I don't fear. You don't get it. Fear is no longer in me because of who else is in me. When King Jesus is in me, I fear no one else. Now again, no doubt, it's like a financial man telling you to buy stocks low and sell them high, and you'd say, I'll be rich tomorrow. Well, it's easy to understand, but it's not always easy to live. And so sometimes the Lord not only gives us his word and his spirit, but he gives us his people. Sometimes he gives us song. Sometimes he'll give us a hug through a song like this. I pray this too is a part of your worship, and if not, it's a part of your prayer.
Tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I
yeah.
because we have a King that says, I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you, you can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear. Walk by faith. Know the King. Hear the promises. This is Him speaking. This isn't some pastor giving you some church line. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords saying to you, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're thinking, if you've been captured by grace, He has you, and nothing and no one can pull you away. And that is to impact the way we walk. You won't just be content. You won't covet. You'll be coming to Christ with the greatest joy. You'll have a want to worship. And I'm here to tell you, if that's not who you are, if that's not what you want, I want to show you truth in advertising from God's Word and amongst God's people. He's worth it. Sell everything else you've got. Anything that's distracting you, throw it away. And if somebody offers you some kind of a knockoff, like a cheap Gucci watch, don't buy it. This is what He's got. This is who He is. This is what He's offering. But here's the thing. He won't haggle. He won't compromise. He won't negotiate. Now my prayer is that you'll come to be born again and to understand the blessing that comes with that, and that you'll be the church. Be the church with the tension of telling the world about the pit that you were in and the passion that He's given you, and that all the glory will go to the one true King, and that I'll be a living, breathing portrait of His grace in the gospel. Oh, may we be this people that tell the story of the glory of our God, what it is to be born again.
At the age of 4, my great-grandfather sexually abused me. At the age of 8, my parents got divorced. At that same time, me and my parents were taking my great-grandfather to court, and that was the first time I felt truly alone. Felt that I couldn't trust anybody, that no one could understand what I was going through. And after that, I would just turn to anything or anyone that would fill this emptiness I felt.
Yeah, I remember my addiction really taking me to some really dark places, places that I never thought I would go, and ultimately ending in a felony possession of cocaine, an arrest, going to jail. I remember being booked that day, and the lady booking me into the jail asked me if I'd ever been there before, and I said no. And she looked me dead in the eyes and said, you'll be back.
Most of my life, I felt very alone and unwanted. My parents were both addicts and died when I was very young. And then through peer interaction and abuse, I came to feel that everything was broken and I didn't belong. I would often wonder why I had been born. And hopelessness took the place where dreams might have been.
I was down on my luck, I was stuck, I was running around broken hearted. I was sinking so fast, I couldn't last, falling apart. And you could have run away, leaving me there in my shame, leaving me fighting my pain, but you made a better way.
Oh, oh, oh.
I've been above. No more shame, born out of the desert and drowned in the power of love. Amazing grace, my soul set free. Ain't no grave got a hold on me. I'm born again, born again. Washed by the water, I'm clean. My eyes have been open, you're showing me all of my life in a new light. Every step, every breath, like it's the first time. You could have run away, leaving me there in my shame, leaving me fighting my pain, but you made a better way.
Oh, oh, oh.
I've been saved, goodbye to the sinner. I'm held by the Father above. No more shame.
When I moved to South Florida, my boyfriend, now husband, introduced me to the Avenue Church. That is where I really first felt the love of Christ. That is where I felt that I wasn't alone. I was a part of a family.
And so today I can look back and with incredible honor say that the Lord was in every minute of it. From the arrest to the court-ordered treatment, today I stand a new man, resurrected in Christ, being redeemed and restored through His good works in me. And now today I get to use my story, my experiences, my past with drugs and alcohol to help others, to minister His good news, to meet them right where they're at and let them know that there's a God who loves them and has great things in store for them.
So I was in a jail cell at my lowest place and found the scrap of paper in my cell with Psalm 51 written on it. And as I read the words of that psalm, the atmosphere around me changed, and I was flooded with a sense that I was totally and absolutely loved. And I started to study the Bible and came to give my heart fully to Jesus, and I haven't been the same ever since.
Preacher told me the good, good news. Went away down deep in the river blue. Preacher told me the good, good news. And ever since my heart met you, I've been saved.
Not sound like somebody who has read this passage? That the Lord will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you if you are a Christian. And confidently, you can now say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And listen to the passage close. What can man do to me? What can man do to me if I've been captured by grace, adopted by the King, Spirit-filled, empowered by Almighty God, Acts 1:8, and I've been given my assignment? I'm to go and make disciples of all nations. I'm to demonstrate through my love and unity with the one another's of God's family that He is worth whatever it takes, and I'm to come to this call, not to the management of ministry, but to the miraculous moving of mountains by our Messiah, locally, regionally, and globally. And I get to have this assignment, even though I used to be in the pit holding the nails that would pound into Him on the cross, that which kept Him there. His love for me. Now let me ask you, and let's go through the word quickly. I mean, what are you going to do to scare Daniel? The man's come out of the lion's den, protected by Almighty God. What are you going to do to scare Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What can man do to me? I'll stoke the fire so hot the guards will die, and I will walk in it with my King. And if I turn into toast, so be it. But I'm not bowing down. What can man do to me? Think about Elisha and his servant. They got a surrounded boss. We're doomed. Lord, open his eyes that he could see. What can man do to me? I will not fear, not out of bravado, not because I'm arrogant or cocky, but because I know the King who spoke to me. I know what he said. I know who I am. I know why I'm here. I know what he wants to get done. I know where the power source is coming from. I get it. And there isn't anything or anyone that's going to dissuade me or going to take away from what he is empowering to happen. I mean, let's jump over. What are you going to do to scare Lazarus? We'll kill you. We'll put you in the tomb for days. Yeah, been there. Jesus called me out. You got nothing. You got nothing. We'll separate your head from your shoulders. Yeah, John the Baptist paved the way there. And my king said that he was awesome. I got no problem if that's the path. Right? What are you going to do? You see Paul. Well, we'll stone him. We'll just torture him. We won't quite kill him. Yeah, and he'll come back like the Energizer Bunny because he's on mission for his Messiah. And there isn't anything that's going to get in the way. Say, well, how's he do that? Well, that's Paul. You got to understand, I'm not Paul. No, he does it because the Spirit of God enabled him. And if you're a Christian, you have that same Spirit of God. Acts 1:8. That's why it's on the wall and just about everything that we share with people. Because it not only tells you how, it tells you for who, and it tells you where and when. Why? This is for him. I think of Stephen. They're crushing his skull. And the bigger the rocks and the bigger the bruises, the louder he gets. And what's he say? I can see the Lord in his glory. Read chapter 11 of Hebrews. Read the whole thing. Spend some time in the middle with the nameless, faceless people are there. When the you and me's are covered in the middle of the chapter. Say, well, I don't know about them. Well, I'll tell you what you can know about them. They knew who God was. They knew the big problem was that they would be coveting other things. So they found their contentness in Christ. How? Well, they knew that he said he would never leave them or forsake them. Well, what did their daily lives look like? Well, they lived every day remembering that the Lord is their helper, that they're not to fear, and that when you put things in perspective, what can people do to me? I'm a child of the King. I'm going home one day. What are you going to do? Give me an express ticket? Ooh. You know, I'm ready. Live ready. Stay focused. Work hard and remain fluid. Be this people of prayer and praise and proclamation and purification. Be a believer. This is of all the songs we sang, the most inspirational to me. I pray it blesses you.
Bit different now that my heart's been found. Nothing really feels the same. I hold my head a bit higher, I lift my voice a bit louder. Yeah, something inside has changed. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singing, testifier, 'cause I've been redeemed. I am a believer. I am a believer. I know this is not my home. I know I don't walk alone. No matter what comes my way, I have peace through the trouble, I have joy through the struggle. Now my hope's in a brighter day. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, sing and testify it, 'cause I've been redeemed.
Jesse, friends, if this is you and me, if we're the Christians for whom this is being written and spoken to, then this is our disposition. This is how and why we come to worship. We know what the King has said. We say confidently now, He's my helper. I won't fear. What can man do to me? I'm a believer. I'm a biblical believer. You think that's going to pull me away? You think I'm going to be satisfied with mud pies in the city when the Lord has offered me the shore for the weekend? C.S. Lewis says, we are so caught up with the lesser things of life, we've lost sight of what our Lord has offered us in this loving relationship. Oh, my prayer, friends, is that we won't just look the part, but that we'll live out this passion. That we won't just learn the meanings of these words, but that we'll love the mission. Love the mission. Out of a love for the Messiah, which is born out of the miracle of His grace that puts us on this mission. Oh, friends, I've asked the worship team if they would let me close us with one, but then to have them come back up and just bring an exclamation mark to this day. I leave you asking, are you ready to walk by faith? Are you ready to reap what you're sowing? Think about that. Are you ready to reap what you're sowing? Do you have this want? Will you seek first the kingdom of God and acknowledge that everything else that I need will be given and stop coveting? Amen. The creatures and the comforts and the culture of this world. I say to you again that to be discontent is to live out a hellish, prideful rebellion of unbelief. And the answer is to be content in Christ by His grace and for His glory. That you and I have seen here the warning, do not covet. You've seen the worship. He's told you He won't leave you or forsake you, the Creator of all things. And you've seen the warriors, those who know who their helper is, who live without fear, and whose disposition is, what do you think you can do to me? I live for my King. Don't covet other than Christ. Don't do it. Don't covet other than Christ. Be content in Christ. And then trust Him no matter what. I promise you that is the path to a passionate and purifying life as the people of God. And I say that to you with great confidence. Let this last song be one that leads you in an anthem of praise to the Almighty. And then our worship team will come and give us one personal, heartfelt group sing, group worship proclamation of praise. Amen. Lord, thank You for this day. Use this time, I pray, to change and impact eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
I'm not a warrior. I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what You're calling me to. Lord, with Your strength, I've got no excuse. Broken people are exactly who You use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence. You took a shepherd boy and made Him a king. So I'm gonna trust You and give You everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause You fight for me. I'll be a champion, claiming Your victory. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness.
shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus, Jesus. I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus. You may feed the light, Daniel, in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Yeah! Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. My giants with confidence.